The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter 2, verse 4. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. All right, you'll be given a few moments in which to make the usual preparation for the intake of Bible doctrine. That means that you're here to concentrate on what I have to say and to not unnecessary movement or actions that would disrupt people around you. Okay? That's the first thing. It's a decorum. And so get in fellowship, do what you have to do to assimilate this aspect of our study of things in the angelic conflict that are monumental and not taught, obviously. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together in these perilous times. We thank you that we have the roadmap, Bible prophecy, so that we can see where things are headed and not be caught up in the concerns and the preoccupations that so many are involved in. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have a series of examples from the past after we discussed after Peter presented the warning, the heads up, if you will, to these believers that there would be great apostasy and corruption in the name of Christianity on the horizon, that this would come to pass, that they needed to be aware that there would be these unscrupulous types. Of course, this is continued to the present time. Now he goes and he gives examples from the past. Verse 4, I entitled, Fornicating Angels. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, for if, first class condition, and he did not spare them, did not spare. The word spare is phytomai, aorist indicative. It means to spare the angels, angelos, when they sinned, having sinned. Hamartano is the verb to sin in the aorist participle. But cast them into hell, but handed them over, paradidomi, aorist active indicative. We have here, into hell. We have a word translated, dative feminine plural, spira, or syra, excuse me. It means cord, rope, or chain. the word hell is not Hades here. It's Zophos. The genitive noun means gloom, a designation or synonym for the underworld. Translated, but handed them over to chains of darkness. They have put the word pits in here of darkness, but handed them over to chains, something that restrains people. In this case, these angels, reserved for judgment, kept, present participle, tereo, keep or hold in reserve, guard, for judgment, krima. One, like Luke, Jude 1:5-7, Peter bases the certainty of retribution on historical precedents. Two, Peter cites three examples out of the past. Two of these agree with Jude, the sinning angels and the Sodom and Gomorrah crowd. Four, Jude's first example is that of the Exodus generation, while Peter's second example is that of the flood. Peter arranges his examples in chronological order begins his list by making mention of certain fallen angels who he says here sinned. 6. He is, of course, referring to the Genesis 6 episode, in which a group or a certain group of fallen angels took to themselves beautiful women from among men and spawned a hybrid race of mighty men. This is all in Genesis 6, and it's pretty straightforward. Obviously, one has to understand that these obviously are a part of Satan's organization, fallen angels. These angels are called, as all angels are, sons of God. Sons indicate offspring. God brought all the angels into existence at once, all of them, and they were all perfect. Another thing to know, that unlike what is told people, there are no female angels. They were all males, gender-wise. Obviously, this has as its background Satan's original sin, his fall, and his solicitation of the entire angelic race. And we know from Revelation that one-third bought into his revolutionary manifesto. And that is why Genesis opens up with the earth having been created, and then we have this dark tohu wa bohu in darkness, locked down, everything under the dome. Before the restoration process began. Also note that all the angels are culpable. They were created first, before any of the physical world, etc. They were created and they got to see it come into existence. They were given a heads up and they all liked it and all sang in unison. Then some time elapsed and the fall of Satan. Okay. They're called sons of God in Genesis chapter 6. And that's the chapter that deals with and explains in part why the history before the flood got so unbelievably corrupt. Now, this didn't happen right after. This happened at some point. Excuse me. This happened at some point in the period of the history before the flood, which, based on the genealogy in Genesis, you will come up with this precise number, 1,656 years from the creation of Adam until the Noahic flood. So this event occurred later, maybe at the midpoint. Maybe it happened around the time of the famous prophet who was the seventh from Adam. See, there's 14 generations. You count them from Adam and the males and that all the way down to Noah. The midpoint is the patriarch or the prophet Enoch. Proof that this phrase exclusively refers to angels and not human beings in the Old Testament is based on the fact that of the three times this expression occurs, Genesis 6, 2, 4, all three clearly refer to angels and not humans. What I'm saying here is that in the Old Testament, the phrase sons of God exclusively refer to angels, whether good angels or bad angels. They're all called sons of God to indicate the source of their origin. They're called sons of God in Job 1:6, the background to the testing of Job. 2:1 and 38:7 in Job. Job 38:7 refers to the entire race of angels before certain angels fell. He gives a history there of the fall of Satan, the original sinner. And the details are found there in Job 38. Nowhere in the Old Testament does this expression ever refer to believers. 5 times, 2 times in Genesis, and 3 times in Job. 11. This, of course, took place sometime during the antediluvian civilization. Now, here's the background to it. It wasn't just so some angels could have some fun with some pretty women. There was a higher objective. And this ties in perfectly with what we have said, that the satanic plot was to corrupt humanity. It would take time if it had gone on indefinitely. But it was shut down with a flood. So they went out, and certain women, I wonder how they appeared to everybody at first. If you're going to do a movie, how would they appear? It had to be something dramatic. Now, obviously, angels can transform themselves into various forms. And this, of course, is the one that kind of is mind-boggling, that you can turn into a man, a male. Well, of course. We're told to be on our guard because we might entertain angels unaware. The person that you could possibly run into could possibly, I'm not trying to say you have or will, that you ran into is an angel and not a human. And they could appear like an ordinary person out here. So if angels can, and they can do it, they can take on, their makeup is such that they can take on a lot of different forms. From something scary to something appealing. Elect angels and fallen angels. They can take these forms if they're permitted to, or... So this is what happened. How they appeared on the scene. There must have been a lot of them. Because it says in Genesis there, in 6, chapter 6, it came about when men began to multiply. This is a population explosion after the flood. Remember, people lived a lot longer before the flood. And there's a scientific reason for it. It could have to do with the fact that the oxygen levels were so high and other environmental factors that enabled people to live as old as people as Adam, I think it was 650, the oldest Methuselah, 669, something like that, and all the rest of it. They began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. They picked the prettiest ones. And they took wives for themselves. They made it look legitimate. They didn't rape these women. They took wives. They went through the whole process of marrying them. People in general had to know that these sons of God, they had to know that they weren't, as it were, of this world. That they were not, they would know these males were not, didn't have a family out here, parents, and so the rest of it. They just showed up. I think they probably showed up in a dramatic way. Not slipping in secretly. That they appeared dramatically. I don't know. If I was to speculate, it's nothing to hang anything on. I'd have them coming up out of the water. That's just me. Dismiss it. Something like that. Something really dramatic. And they were very handsome. And women who were negative and non-believers, they fell for him. They'd do it today if something like this happened. But that's been shut down. And they took wives for themselves, whoever they chose. They based strictly on looks. They picked the most attractive ones. Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years." Now, I don't have time to explain that right now. Let's move on to the next one. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, these were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Okay, let me go down some more points here. The satanic plot was to corrupt true humanity over time and negate the possibility of the Messiah being true humanity in accordance with God's promise in Genesis chapter 3, that the true Messiah, see, this is the first hint at the virgin birth. When Adam and Eve and her pet and Satan are called out and told the way it's going to be. And in that time, they were given the primitive gospel, that the seed of the woman, you'd normally think the seed of the man, but it isn't. It's the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And the seed of the woman, the serpent, will bruise his heel. That's what Christ went through in his sufferings from the source of the cosmos. Not bearing sins. And so the sacrificial system and everything. So Satan knew that his first attack on the line of Christ was to try to mix angelic DNA with human DNA. And eventually get this going and going and going until people born to people were part angel and part human. Mixing the DNA. This is a straightforward account. And makes it clear. The expression seed of the woman points to the true humanity conceived under special conditions. It's the first hint of a unique birth. Eve misfired on it when she had her first son. She thought it was going to be him. She hadn't thought this through yet. She thought it was Cain, the firstborn. But no, the male is not involved. The physical male is not involved in the humanity of Messiah. It's a supernatural birth where Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, taking up the slack and providing something where there was no sin nature or STA. The hybrid race that began developing before the flood posed a threat to a pure human gene pool. Certain fallen angels be like aliens, mated with women. By the way, God can allow fallen angels to fake people out and come on the scene as an alien race. And they can take any forms they want to. This is brought out in the book of Revelation when these angels will be released in the tribulation, but they won't be attractive males. And they will torture people for 5 months. People who took the mark. They're going to get released and get out of there for 5 months and then slammed back in there. Because these are the angels, how many ever there were, that were taken out of circulation. Certain fallen angels mated with women to their liking and produced a third category, the half man, if you will, half angels that are the subject of pagan lore. They remembered this on the other side of the flood, and they have all these stories about so-and-so was impregnated by this or that. And of course, they have it all. They have female angels, male angels, and having sex with the gods, the deities, and producing something. That kind of thinking was in the mind of Alexander the Great's mother, Olympia. That he was part human, her, and part deity. So these legends, there's, I call it the kernel of truth. The kernel of truth. It's brought over, but it's all mixed up with all this other stuff that went on. It's kind of interesting that there is a kernel of truth. The legends of Hercules and the Titans are examples of this lore that prevailed among the post, that means after the flood. Pagan mythology is filled with stories of gods and goddesses cohabiting with certain humans and producing demigods. It was rift through the civilizations. The true demigods are the mighty men of Genesis 6:4. Mighty men. Because you see, they have human and angelic DNA. And some of the feats of strength and things they probably did to show off and impress people would have been unbelievable to observe. Samson-like stuff. There is so much that went on during that period when this got rolling. They probably did some good things for people. Some of these structures and things that are built, who knows? But there was also a lot of violence before the flood. A lot of corruption, as we know. These men are also known, they're the mighty men of Genesis 6:4. These men are known as men of renown for their sensational exploits. People heard and observed the kind of things that they were able to pull off. Feats of strength and other type things. We're talking about their offspring now. Over this time, the community of the adjusted believers became more and more beleaguered and marginalized minority. But the line of Christ was still clicking along. The hope is that this DNA will get mixed in and completely saturate humanity. At the time of the flood, God destroyed all land-breathing mammals, which included the demigods. They were wiped out. That's what happened to them. Because they're human, they need air. They got to breathe, and so they can drown. Maybe we'll get filled in on all the details if we want them when we're in phase 3. But for now, this will have to do. The particular angels who abandoned their celibacy. See, all angels upon their strict code, you don't use your dynamics to have sex with humans and produce. Marriage is off for you. You're all to be celibate. But Satan got a group of them into this thing. The particular angels who abandoned their celibacy were denied their freedom and confined to pits or chains of gloom in the underworld. And this is known in Greek literature, Tartarus. There was a region in the underworld, there's Hades, and there's also this special area where these angels have been in chains of darkness. They're locked down in darkness. Angels have bodies of light, so they are put in darkness and have been tormented ever since the flood hit. That's when they were placed down. Of course, the mighty men, they drowned like everyone else at the flood. Peter agrees with the Homeric legend of the subterranean abyss in which rebellious gods and nefarious humans were punished. So an afterlife, a negative afterlife, was in the literature of, you know, famous writers like Homer, not from The Simpsons. Okay, bad joke. All right. The apocryphal books of Enoch and Baruch read, "And some of them descended and mingled with women, and those who did so were tormented in chains." So extra-biblical Jewish writings of the book of Enoch and the book of Baruch testify to this. In that statement, there's nothing wrong with it. It reflects what we have in Genesis 6 and so forth. And here in Peter and Jude. Because Peter and Jude deal with this issue. Those particular angels are still confined by the power of God for their sensational and brazen sin. There they wait, as do all unbelievers, for a date with future judgment. Hence the words, reserved for judgment. They will share the lake of fire with Satan and all fallen angels at the end of the Gog and Magog event. Hence the words, reserved for future judgment. So God's not through with humiliating them and bringing them down. But all this century, they could have been free-running angels doing their thing, but they have been taken out of circulation. Satan doesn't care. He's just trying to do something. He's trying to contaminate the line of Christ so that the whole human race is corrupted with this angelic DNA. Well, it was all shut down with the flood. And any of the other fallen angels, I don't think they'd want to repeat this again. Considering what happened to them. So we have to get all the silliness out of it. Satan's never been in hell. Satan didn't participate in this hands-on. It's just this group of them that went in and took these women, went all the trouble to marry them, and produced this hybrid race. Or hybrid group of the mighty men of old. By the way, Peter says the resurrected humanity of Christ appeared before these angels. We've already studied that, haven't we? And made a victorious proclamation on the occasion. And this happened on Sunday, late on Sunday, the day of his resurrection. He was raised in the early morning hours, around sunrise or so, on that day. And then that whole day passed, and late in that day, while he was having fellowship with a couple disciples who were downcast, and he suddenly disappeared from their presence, and that's when the lights went on, and they realized, we just spent the evening, or part of it, with Jesus, and then he just, without saying, sorry, I've got to leave, because he isn't sorry, he's left. Boom. And those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, they were on cloud nine. They ran back to the disciples and told them what happened to them. But the thing here is that Christ went to that deep part of the earth where you have Hades, and there was a gulf that separated the two, that story in the New Testament of the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus was on the good side. They named that place. See, this was the holding place for believers before Christ did this. They were in the underworld, down in the heart of the earth, down deep. That's where when a believer died, their soul traveled through a passageway. And a believer passed through a passageway too, called the gates of hell. And today they still pass through that, unbelievers, when they die. Believers go directly to heaven. But Christ went down there. See, get it. Get the scene. They've been out of circulation for all these centuries. Since Noah's flood to the time of Jesus, they have been out of circulation. They don't know what's going on, what's happened up there. If this thing was, maybe something else was successful. Because Satan tried other tactics to try to frustrate the line of Christ. Break the line. He came close, but close isn't going to cut it. So, he comes down there and rubs salt in the wound. Here I am. Here I am. Strategic victory of the angelic conflict. And while he was there, he took all of the millions of believers' souls, and they all got to take a trip up to the third heaven. Up through the mantle of the earth in their souls, up through the atmosphere, past the stars, and through the dome, and into the third heaven. Christ is in his resurrection body. Of course, he'd already been down there in his soul, spirit. But on the third day, he was raised. You need to know the history. He was raised from the dead. Then he made his victorious proclamation. He made a victorious proclamation on the occasion when he relocated all Old Testament saints into the third heaven, as we saw in the previous book, 1 Peter 3, as we've already looked at it. That's why you have to search the scriptures to piece all the evidence. I'll read verse 18 too, because that's where the sentence starts. For Christ also died for sins once for all. Catholics, he isn't an ongoing sacrifice. He died for sins once for all. This refers to the 3 hours of darkness and not his physical death. The just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh. Okay, now that's his physical death, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went. This, but made alive in the spirit, refers to his resurrection, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. This ties this together with them, who were once disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. And in Paul says that he led captivity captive. Because everybody down there is a captive. A happy captive or a not happy captive. And all the believers were happy captives. So he takes them. No humans had ever appeared in heaven. He hadn't appeared in heaven. This was his first trip in his humanity in heaven. And he brings all these millions of believers, their souls, you know, all the ones you can name and think of in the Bible, they were all with him. They appear, boom. Now, God's standards were these people who were saved in Old Testament times, all the way up to the time of Christ, like the thief on the cross. How long had he been down there? Hardly any. He never got his feet wet, so to speak. I mean, anyway, they're all taken to heaven all at once. God could not allow people to go directly into heaven before the actual atonement factor had occurred. There's a verse in Romans that deal with this. He overlooked the fact that their sins hadn't been paid for yet, literally. hadn't gone to court and been judged and all the rest, as it did in Christ's humanity. But now they can go up, believers go directly to heaven when they die, face to face. So he relocated all Old Testament saints into the third heaven, as noted here. These angels, among all the fallen angels, have not fared very well, to say the least. I don't know if they enjoyed the sex. I really don't. It was just an assignment for a greater end to corrupt human DNA. These fallen angels, among all the fallen angels, have not fared very well, to say the least. The human race before the flood looked up to these celebrities because they're stupid and negative, just like people are today. They're impressed with these people. Always impressed with them. And I can understand, okay, that person's talented. Okay. Oh, that person's attractive. But where are all the talented? And where are all the attractive of yesteryear? Somebody may remember them and talk about them. But where are they at now? Most of them are in hell. Their God was celebrityship. We got some new ones out there today that people just go nuts over. So you can see how easy it was for people without doctrine and people who are led by their STAs to be so impressed with these fallen angels and their offspring and the poor dummy women that were used for this. That didn't say, this isn't right. So they looked to these celebrities and their illustrious offspring. But God is more than able to abase the affluent, the proud, and the lawless. And he's got a bunch of them out there today. And their judgment is coming. Apart from them turning to the Lord and becoming believers. I'm looking around today and I am seeing all of the catastrophes that are hitting this world. Some of them are natural, some of them are man-made. Man-generated. Somebody was telling me before class that back in the 40s, they did experiments with dropping dry ice into hurricanes for effect. If you want to know more about it, I can't tell you because I didn't see it all, but they've been messing with the weather. They mess with it. Come on. What do you think they did in Vietnam? If they can intensify a storm, they can de-intensify it. We've figured out some of these technologies to mess with things. There's those that say we can generate, we can put some kind of pressure at certain key point on fault lines and cause earthquakes. Hey, we can create pathogens in labs and release them. And anybody that says that out there, like that Marjorie Greene, oh my God, they just go berserk. She was talking about the flood the flooding in North Carolina. She said, they did it. Oh my God, the poor woman, she had come under attack like crazy. Jeff told me, my son, he's got a whole bunch of stuff on YouTube where people are bringing this stuff to light. Somebody said there's a government site that says we want to control the weather by a certain date. What? Play God with the weather? Well, you can bet that they're not going to do it for the good of humanity. We need rain over here. Okay, we'll give you some nice rain. And it falls into that verse in the Bible that says, I'm going to destroy those that destroy the earth, that try to play God over things. These are sinister, dark plans. So don't think all these storms are just, it's part nature and man can do things. Like I said, man could do things to tone stuff down. That guy... I heard talking to one of these other guys. He was involved in this process in the Air Force in Vietnam. He named something that we drop into the clouds. And during the dry season, and the floods came over the Vietnamese, washing out villages and roads and everything. We did it. U.S. of A. We did it. Hence the rock song, "Who'll Stop the Rain?" There is one. Look up the name of the song. I went and just for entertainment, saw Neil Diamond singing "Coming to America," a video. Not when he was young, but when he's that age he is now. And these up there waving their flags and their fists, and then they show pictures of big cities, and of course the Statue of Liberty, and Mount Rushmore, and whoa. We're coming to America. It's arrogance. It's all this arrogance. It just strikes you as, ooh. And the people out in the audience just beside themselves. So God is more than able to abase the affluent, the proud, and the lawless. By the way, these are the only demons in hell currently. All of the fallen angels, including Satan, will be taken and bumped off of the earth at the second advent. So we'll have 1,000 years to see what it's like without having to have any of that mess. People will still be sinners. People will still do stunts, still be unbelievers. But Satan will not be able to spread all of this. Okay. One way to express it is the satanic counterfeits. Counterfeit religion. Counterfeit science. And all the rest of it. He won't be able to do it. He works all the time at trying. And all these big evil religions and things that are set up. You know, Muhammad and the Muslim thing. Demonism. Demonism. Bolshevism. All of it. Demonism is involved. You say, well, they were atheists. Yeah, that's what they were on the surface. But behind the scene, they were Satanists. And there's a bunch of Satanists out there. And they're promoting this stuff. And people are open to it. We're way down the road. All right, we'll take up Sunday, the corrupt flood generation. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.